News Radio 690 KTSM presents more of the El Paso History Show, featuring your host, documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk, and historian Melissa Sargent. We're live online at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archive podcasts of this radio show and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, we're starting hour two of the El Paso History Show with an El Paso History Moment, produced by Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance. And her story today is about how beer made history in El Paso.
Beer lights up the neighborhood. In 1904, several El Paso businessmen headed by E.B. Welch, George Pence, and others organized the El Paso Brewing Association. They began construction of a state-of-the-art brewing plant that would produce 250 barrels of ale and porter a day. The first hurdle for the association was a power source for the brewery, so the association constructed an electrical power plant that was so powerful that the association in the end not only provided power to the brewery, but made power available to the Lata subdivision that surrounded the brewery and what was then East El Paso. The brewery officially opened on July 20, 1904, with an enormous banquet and live music. But the party quickly ended in 1905. The brewery went into receivership and was sold at auction for $66,000. More history next week on El Paso History Moments. I'm Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance.
This El Paso History Moment is brought to you by Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Go online to sargentinventoryservices.com.
I went online and there you were just standing there ready to take my inventory.
Got my camera.
And I thought that was a little personal, frankly.
Yes, I know.
But you're just talking about your house
very
stuff,
rude,
right?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. So you go. And so the beer made history.
Yeah. Can
crazy.
You imagine the and it powered the neighborhood with electricity.
So. I think it still does, doesn't it?
Yeah, it lit them up in a different way.
Oh, yes, indeed. Well, that's where the El Paso History Alliance are on Facebook with more than 40,000 followers.
Oh, I know. And it's we're building a group, and people are interested in getting involved. They can give Bernie Sargent a call at 915-581-7920.
You drew a blank on your own number?
I don't know what my number is.
581-7920. Call Bernie for a good time. There you are.
But I want to tell you, I had some fun this week.
Oh, tell us.
She went
on a field trip. Doug Poland's still here. She went on a field trip to Las Cruces.
Yes, I actually made 2 days to go up there. I found out, thanks to Tricia Long, she put an article in last weekend about Pat Garrett's coroner's report being found. It was like the last piece in the puzzle of Pat Garrett, the lawman who shot Billy the Kid. He was murdered himself out in an area just north of the city of Las Cruces. The Doña Anya clerk's office found in the trove of records, and that was kind of like the star of all the wonderful records they found. But they'd been tucked away for years, and so they unveiled it this week, and people were kind of hoping it was like, you know, the secrets of the vault. There was maybe more information about Pat's death and everything. And really, it was. I have my very own copy here.
But that's not original.
No, it's not the original. Dang it! They caught me trying to take it. No, it's worth. They are amazed how valuable that piece of paper is. And it's just basically like two or three paragraphs of information. And it really didn't change any more than we didn't already know about Pat Garrett's death and how the gentleman that supposedly killed him, got away with murder is what it was.
Literally.
But it was interesting because like the who's who of history were there.
You were there.
I was there, of
there
course. Yes,
who.
But
I
got to interview the people that were involved at the county clerk's office. And the county clerk, Scott Kraling, who is a wonderful guy, Roseanne Vasquez, who's a communications coordinator, and has this wonderful little title she gave herself, Civic Visionary, which, great people.
Say what?
Civic Visionary, because they are so wrapped up in taking care of their historic
records.
Well, they're so excited about taking care of these records. And the young lady, Angelica Vasquez, who found the coroner's report and this has been, it's been out there for a while, but it's been kind of, they kept it quiet. They are so excited because of this, because they found not just, like I said, the Garrett Report was the jewel of all that they found, but there are tons of other records that they have found there that go back to 1854 and possibly earlier, to when Arizona was part of New Mexico during the Confederacy. So they have records from people when Arizona was part of New Mexico.
And New Mexico became a state in 1912. So
1912. So this is territory time. And so,
I have a trivia question for Doug Pullen.
What?
Where did they have the big party for New Mexico when it became a state?
No idea.
Right here in El Paso.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, I shared that with them. They were cracking up. But I want you to know,
they had no place to go in New Mexico.
But I met the supposed granddaughter of Pat Garrett was there. I met one of the Albert Fountain's relatives. And so we have some potential new guests.
Bring them down. We'll
talk. We're going to bring them down. And also we're going to be bringing the staff in from Doña Ana Clerk's office to talk about this, because they are so excited now. I wish we could get the same enthusiasm for protecting their history there
in El Paso.
So maybe we can get a light of fire under their tushes here.
Well, let's talk about that for a minute, because sooner or later, I think the people in El Paso are going to wake up and say, you know, our history is important. We should do something about it.
I think so.
Keep paving it over and yada, yada, yada. Yeah. Doug Pullen, what are your thoughts?
I'm sort of learning the history while I go along here, because, you know, I grew up here. My father, Sidney Pullen, was a school teacher here, retired Air Force, but he was involved in the County Historical Society.
Oh.
I think he wrote a few things for Password. Oh. It was through him that my interest in history in general came. But, you know, I was gone a long time. And
when did you leave? What age were you?
I was about 24.
Okay, so you went through all of the college years here?
Yeah, I was in Lubbock for college.
Okay.
But, you know, I don't think I had a big interest. I don't think I noticed local history growing up. So
you were
much.
Not taught, because you were in a public school.
No, we had in seventh grade, we had a Texas history course, and I think there was some local history. But I knew more
through
my father, I think, and then there were some columns.
Okay, you had a mentor in-house.
Yeah, and there were some columns that used to run in the local papers
here,
and I used to read them periodically. And
the point I build up to is what I normally say here on a Saturday morning, and that is we're not taught our history in this town.
Yeah.
Which is why we don't have a pride of who we are, what's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you may or may not care some of the history that's gone on here, but on a world stage, it's world class.
Yeah, it's unique.
Well, think about the Russian Revolution. Where did they learn how to do that? About 10 years earlier, they did it here in El Paso with the Mexican Revolution.
Yeah.
So, I mean, these are big world stage events that have gone on here.
Yeah.
I mean, you could just take the rocks on the mountain. The A Mountain is about 2 billion years old. When you go back and look at, well, you want to talk about history?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So, you know, and then when you get to the human history, the big deal here, of course, the Rio Grande, north and south, this was a major corridor.
Mm-hmm.
And it became east-west when they found gold, you know, in El California.
Yeah.
Good old El California.
El California.
And they had to show up here to get to there. So, yeah. So, Doug, I'm just curious, because we ask people all the time, what do you think of our history? And the answer often is, I don't know it.
Yeah, and my thing is, I just find it fascinating. And one of the advantages of working at the Community Foundation is you have in the DNA is this, I would say, respect for history.
Yes.
And then when you work with a guy like Gary Williams, you learn every time you have a conversation.
Oh, yeah. That's
about
Gary.
Something. And,
his name comes up all the time.
Yeah, and I know, hey, Gary, what about this? What do you know about this? Where can I find this? You know, and he's you know, hugely helpful. In the film festival, you try to, because it's a current event that is built around historical elements, you know, both in terms of the movies themselves, the theater, but we also try to find what I call, the journalist in me calls, local angles on things. And so that's where, you know, some of these exhibitions we collaborate on tie in with, or some of the programming from year to year. You know, we're already working on ideas for next year that are, you know, very El Paso centric, shall we say.
Well, what's the one this year with the History Museum? Tell us
about
that.
It's a smaller exhibition. It's called South El Paso Street, Broadway of the Southwest.
Broadway, okay.
Which was a nickname it used to have. As it evolved away from the saloons and then into the vaudeville houses and theaters and opera houses and other businesses that were up and down South El Paso Street. The evolution of the movie theater also took place on South El Paso, not just there, but that that stretch from roughly where the Plaza Theater is now up to the bridge, you know, housed a number of movie houses and other kinds of venues that showed moving pictures or whatever they called them, chose to call them.
What's gone now? The LNA, and was that Cinerama?
Yeah, when it was, the Capri had Cinerama,
Capri.
You know, it was the LNA, then the Capri.
Okay, same.
The Capri brought in Cinerama when the industry was trying to come up with ways to combat television and suburbanization.
Real quick, what was Cinerama?
It was a widescreen format.
Three projectors.
Yeah.
Of the same movie.
Yeah.
And you had each projector had a third up on the screen.
Yeah, and there's a theater in L.A. that still has it.
There's stuff that can be done with that. So you moved down. You had the Cologne, and then what else was going down toward Juarez?
Well, you know, as you worked your way towards Juarez, there were a number of theaters like the Unique and the Palace and the Grecian and the Rex. But the Cologne was an important theater because it was a Spanish-language theater, and right across the street was the Alcazar, also Spanish-language, same owners. And those owners also had their own film company on the Mexican side of the border. They had theaters in El Paso and Juarez, but they had a film distribution company on the Mexican side.
And they showed their stuff in there?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
Okay. And there's one that was just off the beaten path, and that's down San Antonio Street, about a half a block.
Yep, the Wigwam.
The Wigwam.
The Wigwam.
Which was also the state theater.
State theater. And, you know, now I think it's Overland in Kansas. There's a parking ramp there, but either the first or one of the first theaters designed for movies, the Texas Grand, was located over that way.
Overland in Kansas.
I think it's Overland in Kansas. I may be messing that up, but it's a parking ramp now.
Well, you hear it.
Of course, that's what people were afraid was going to happen to the Plaza Theater, right?
Well, hey, at one point, it was scheduled for demolition, as I understand it. And somebody,
I don't know.
Somebody came along and said, no, let's don't do that.
I know there was a feasibility study done, and Betty McGuire, who was on our board and is on our board, and, you know, had seen that. The story she told me, she saw something about it in the paper and, you know, was upset about it.
She freaked out.
Called Janice Windell, who's the president of the foundation at the time, and said, we've got to do something about it. And they contacted the owners in Mexico City, and they gave them 6 weeks to raise $1 million and
bring your checkbook,
purchase it.
Come on down.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that worked out because that's an amazing piece of history.
Yeah.
And now what you, the Community Foundation, and the City of El Paso have done with it, it's a magnificent location.
Yeah, I love the place.
It's fabulous.
Yeah, what a great place to work.
And I think maybe one of the bigger compliments on their renovation was it looked pretty much the same before and after.
Yeah,
but everything was brand new.
Yeah, because they did a proper restoration.
Oh, my God. Yeah. And to see the pictures of the whole pit open up there and they're digging holes in the floor with big machines. Like, whoa, what is that? But, again, the point was they bumped out the back, made it bigger for bigger productions to come in, and away we go.
And that's why it's able to be viable today.
With the movie concept said, it doesn't show movies but 6 weeks a year. Well, it can't make it on that.
It's actually 11 days of the year. But
the point is you can't make it on movies.
No. And that's what killed a lot of these theaters downtown was as people, you know, the suburbanization took place. We were a commuter town. The downtown went into its own sort of spiral, if you will. But multiplex theaters also were a big part of this.
Yeah,
cable
walk in,
television.
There's 10 theaters in one location.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, if you play it right, you can see all of them in one afternoon.
There was talk at one
time. That's not legal, but
no. But there was talk at one time of I think turning the Plaza into a 2-screen theater.
Oh.
Imagine now what we know. Imagine if that had happened. So the exhibition, to go back to that, which is going to open around July 1 at the History Museum, looks at this history. It's a smaller exhibit, so it focuses in on a handful of the theaters, but the text will help sort of. You know, there'll be sort of a prologue, epilogue kind of thing that catches you up. And then we're also trying to organize some walking tours so that you can go down South El Paso Street, you know, past the fountain at what's now the Hotel Paso del Norte, where the Capri stood, go to Truckee Falls, which was the Alhambra, you know, a silent movie house when it opened in 1914, work your way up to the Colón, cross the street, go by what was the Star and later the Estrella Theater, which is where Don Bluth used to see Disney shorts and also apparently saw Snow White when he was 7 or 8 years old, and work our way down to some of the other locations where theaters used to be.
Are you going to swing by the Wigwam maybe?
I hope so. We went in there yesterday to check it out and also see if they were open to that. They had just uncovered some of the old terrazzo floor at one of the entrances that had been covered by linoleum.
We stirred somebody up on the phone named Bob. You ready for Bob?
Yeah.
Hey, Bob, we're ready for you. What's up?
Yeah, you all were talking about demolishing the Plaza Theater. Actually, what happened was Jonathan Rogers was mayor back then, and his idea, and we planned to extend El Paso Street, you know, and you know, go through there and then connect up on the other side. That was his brilliant plan.
What a man of vision. Hey!
That's right, yeah. That's all I did.
Thank you, Bob.
I didn't know that. I hadn't heard that before.
Man, well, thanks for contributing. You take it easy. Well, there's a lot of weird history that's gone on, and people have all different kinds of ideas. It's just really too bad when the guy who owns the property, has the money, doesn't get it. And that's when
you have to go back to the time period and think of what's going on.
Okay, but no, I'm talking about four years ago when they took down the Muir building.
Oh.
They shouldn't have done that. And this Plaza Theater is a prime example of how you can save your history and turn it into something. And anybody who wants to take down another downtown building, I think they're going to have some trouble.
Well, we were talking in the break room before the show where you were down vacationing in San Diego and you stayed in the Gaslight District, which is an amazing little area down there.
Yeah, it reminded me of, what I was saying is that this looks like what downtown El Paso could be like.
Yeah.
Could be.
You know, as it's evolving.
Well, we'll talk further about it. We've got to take a break here. We're overdue for some trivia. Are you ready for trivia?
We're ready for trivia.
Doug helped us with this question earlier, I think. Is this the question?
Turn off my mic.
Is this a different? Yeah, shut him up over there for a little while. No, this is not the one he did. This is a different one, right?
This is not the one he did. He's just saying shut up so he won't answer it.
He doesn't want to be part of this. It's not afternoon yet. He's not functional.
Yes.
So that's the way Doug Poland is. All right, what do you got?
Name the downtown theater that was once owned by John Wesley Hardin.
Oh, who would that have been? He was a famous gunfighter.
That's right.
And he owned a theater.
That's
And I told Doug how he got it was in a card game.
Card game.
But we're not going to talk about the name of it because that's the trivia question, Doug Poland. Don't say it.
Yeah, I learned my lesson.
Hey, we haven't, obviously. So, therefore, the phone number to call us.
915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Okay, guys. Are you ready for a revolution down below? I'm talking about Frigo underwear from revolutionwear.com. It's all about comfort and looking great. Revolution Wear totally reimagined men's underwear. It's the only brand to feature a mesh pouch and patented Frigo Zone ventilation to keep you cool, dry, and comfortable. They don't pinch, pull, or restrict. Plus, you'll get some nice double takes when wearing them. Try them for yourself. Buy Frigo online at revolutionwear.com. The revolution starts below.
Hi, I'm Scotty Clark from Scott Heating and Cooling. Purchasing air conditioning for your home or business is a significant investment, and choosing the wrong contractor can be both financially and emotionally devastating. So with a lifetime warranty on installation, my 10-year peace of mind warranty, 24/7 service, 0% financing for 72 months, and as always, my personal guarantee that you'll be satisfied or I will buy it back. What are you waiting for? Call the very best today, Scott Heating and Cooling, at 595-4529.
Don't waste your time and money at the chain store. They got the best auto parts. Brake parts, suspension parts, and dealer parts, too. The website's so easy to use. The lowest prices and fast delivery, too. All the parts your car will ever need. All the savvy folks are buying parts at rockauto.com. All the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com.
Queen Sugar, the critically acclaimed drama series from OWN, returns in just a few days. From Academy Award-nominated visionary filmmaker Ava DuVernay and executive producer Oprah Winfrey, Queen Sugar is a visually stunning family drama that is as powerful as it is poetic and the very definition of prestige TV. Season 1 is now streaming only on Hulu, so there's still time for you to catch up before the two-night season premiere event starts on Tuesday at 10/9 Central, only on OWN.
If not me, then who? This ethos is driving the Travis Manion Foundation to empower veterans and families of fallen heroes to develop character in future generations. In 2007, Marine First Lieutenant Travis Manion was killed in Iraq while saving his wounded teammates. Travis's legacy lives on in the five words he spoke before leaving for his final deployment. If not me, then who? Guided by this mantra, veterans are continuing their service, developing strong relationships within their own community, and thriving in their post-military lives. Visit TravisManion.org.
The Kiwanis Clubs of El Paso have created a citywide project designed to display the American flag in front of thousands of homes and businesses during national holidays. Join this campaign to bring national and international attention to our city's love of country and proclaim El Paso America's most patriotic city. For further information, call 915-833-2269.
Let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Okay, who's coming in here next week? What's going to be the topic? What are we doing? Try this on for size. Are you now or have you ever been a student or a teacher at Eastwood High School?
Not me.
You have?
I have.
Yeah, Doug's been there. Well, that's the topic next week. And it's Eastwood High School's undergoing a complete, almost complete major physical renovation. They're keeping the gym, apparently.
Oh, are they?
They're keeping the gymnasium.
The newer one?
With what?
There's two there.
There's one they're keeping. I don't know which
one. The newer one, which is about 40 years old.
Whatever, they're keeping one of them. So we're going to look at the school's history with Ron Lyman, a former teacher, and Nicole O'Leary, a current teacher, and Gary Pippin, a coach at the school in 1966. I think that's the lineup, although another, I think we'll find out next week. You'll find out next week because I won't be here. And Melissa won't be here.
We're taking the day off.
And call screener Shelley won't be here. But Sergio, you're going to be here, right? The main man, electron guy, will be here, but the rest of the crew's bugging out. And the reason we didn't run a tape here is because I thought, well, you know what? This is when these guests can make it.
Yeah.
Let's do the show anyway.
Sure.
Well, because Eastwood's churning and renovating all summer. Two of the people on this committee coming in next week for the radio show are on the committee for the bond renovation of the school. So they know what's coming.
Yeah.
And they can explain all that. So that's June 24. July 1, Director Chris Orwall, New Mexico Museum of Space History in Alamogordo. How you can visit, what's going on there. They got a major fireworks show coming July 4th. And also July 8th, Mr. Bernie. Bernie's going to come in and explain the National Day of the Cowboy. I'm going to ask you to give you some more details on that in a minute. But also, he's coming in the 8th. The event is the 22nd. And one more thing, July 15th, I'll be gone again, and you're going to sit here with Rick and talk to Springfire. I'll pass the music since. Okay, you got one announcement there about the Cowboys?
Well, yeah, we're
going
to talk
and
about.
And we got trivia going over here.
Oh, we got all kinds of stuff. But July 22nd, out at Anthony, at the Anthony's.
Richard White Park.
Richard White Park. There's another name for it. It's a civic park there. They're going to have Day of the Cowboy, and this year we're moving it later in the day because of the heat, and it's going to run from 4 p.m. to 12 p.m. There's going to be arts and crafts vendors. We're going to have food, music. We're going to have movies at night, Old West movies.
Call Doug up. He'll bring movies.
Doug needs to come out there, yes. We're going to have some great bands performing, and we're going to have history booths there talking about, you know, people talking about cowboys, all kinds of neat information.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be a blast. If you would like to be.
Six Guns?
Yeah, Six Guns Shade Ladies will be performing out there. And if you'd like to have a booth out there, either informational or have a craft booth, give us a call at 915-581-7920. But put it on your calendar. It's going to be a Saturday, like I said, from 4 to 12 p.m. on July 22nd. Pardon?
July 22nd.
Is that what I said?
I'm emphasizing what you're saying.
You're emphasizing. Okay, let's emphasize it. Yes, do come out. It'll be a fun day. We had a blast. This is the third, fourth year. But it's a great event. Come out and enjoy it.
All right, fair enough. We've got callers on the phone. They're all full up. We're going to talk to them in the order that they called. And this is a trivia thing here. Let's see who. Oh, what's on this guy's mind? Guy name is Prince. Hey, Prince. What's up? What's going on, Kunyu, dude?
Well, I'd like to tell everybody about a film showing that we've got going on today at the International Museum of Art.
We're showing
a great Cinerama film, the How the West Was Won.
Oh.
Is there an answer to that?
You have to go to the film and see.
That's what I was hoping you'd say. I've been leading into this, dude. Go ahead.
Yeah. It's a great all-star cast. I think there were about five different directors that participated in the production of this film.
Do you know this film?
And, yeah. But Jay Duncan, the film historian, is going to be there. He's going to be talking about all the details of the all-star cast.
All right.
And because this was the beginning of the Cinerama epic, they used all these different directors and all these great stars chipped in and played their part. But the reason why the Railroad Museum is a co-sponsor of this program is because we're participating in all kinds of programs about the history of transportation across the West. And so it tells about how people came west a lot of different ways, barges down the rivers, wagons across the trails, and then the coming of the railroad. So I'll be talking about these historic details before and after the film, and it's free today, 2 p.m. at the El Paso International Museum of Art.
Very nice, sir. Thank you for calling. Now, do you have a trivia thought?
Well, this is one more thing. This is to complement our Southern Pacific Railroad exhibit, which is going on now at the downtown library. And so anybody or any groups that would like a gallery tour or a gallery talk, call us. And there's free parking on Sundays downtown.
That's a good thing.
And so this exhibition is going on because all historians are in agreement that the most important single event in the history of El Paso is the coming of the railroad.
Oh, yeah.
And so this shows how the first railroad, constructed by the Chinese, came into town, and then the Santa Fe came in the following month and changed El Paso.
Completely.
Then the Texas and Pacific came in the same
Prince,
year.
Prince, let's do this. Okay. Put a phone number out there, and they can hear your lecture there, not here, okay?
All right.
Go.
240-8384.
That's a 240?
Yep.
Say the 240?
Right.
And the rest of it is?
8384.
Thank you, Prince.
Now,
talked again, dude.
I think I have an answer to
you're going to play the trivia after all of that? Good God. You owe me a commercial here, dude. But go ahead. Go ahead, Prince. Go ahead, Prince. What's the question, Melissa?
Name the downtown theater that was once owned by John Wesley Harden.
You know this one. You were there.
I believe it was the Wigwam.
Oh, yes. Right. Okay. Yeah. Hey, if you didn't get that one, you're fired, dude. Prince McKenzie, the man who knows a tremendous amount of El Paso, mainly from the window of a train, right? I guess, something to say like that. All right, Prince, you got yourself a prize here, dude. You either want a DVD or a Pepe's. Pick one.
Pepe's.
Pepe's for Prince. All right, thank you, sir, for playing. I appreciate you calling. And in the meantime, if sometimes you want to send all that information to us, we'll announce it with you here on the radio show.
I sent it, and I was surprised that you hadn't.
We actually said all of this last week. I didn't get it again, so I didn't run it again. Oh, okay, Prince. Hold on. Shelley will tell you how to pick it up, all right?
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. You take her easy. Also, going to Michael. Michael's on 5. Michael. Hello, Michael.
Yes, hello.
Hey, hello.
We had a long time there with Mr. Prince. Let's see what happens here. Melissa, got another question?
Well, we don't have another question, but we're going to let you ask us a question and see if we can answer it.
Okay. When was the Wigwam, what year was it built?
Oh, my God. You win the prize no matter what.
Yeah.
You win a DVD no matter what. Do you have an answer?
Yes, sir. It was in the 1880s, and it was a saloon and a theater.
Oh.
Well, yeah, originally it was, I think, just a saloon.
And it actually was ranked as one of the top five saloon of its day.
Listen to this.
And you know how Harden got the ownership, right?
I probably could research it, but that's as far as I got so far.
It was in a card game.
Wow. That makes sense.
Yeah, of course. Well, you got yourself a DVD. Pick one here real quick
We've
and we move on.
Tom
so
Lee.
There's no more Pepe's?
Well, not for this. No, we ran out this hour. Sorry.
But we got a Tom Lee's El Paso. We got Mexican Revolution Sites, Women's Club, McGoffin Home, Ghost Stories 3, 4, and 2.
You gave away
Waco's
three already.
Tanks.
Well, I'll take gunfights, ghost stories.
Okay, we have two, three, and four.
Two is...
Yeah.
Well, okay, I'm going to tell him two. Two is San Elizario, and the lady is talking to ghosts in the jail down there, and it's a little weird.
Yeah, we have...
Okay, yeah.
We go there a lot.
We go to Licon's there.
Okay.
Oh, there you go.
You watch this video, then you go back, and you'll have a different run down there, dude. Oh, thanks for playing. Okay. Hold on. Shelly, tell you how to
thanks
pick us up,
thanks for the information.
All right.
All right.
Thanks a lot. Hold on there. And also, we got one more caller to talk to this hour. Joshua, go ahead. Josuea. Who?
Next time you play.
Hello? Josue.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
You're on the radio, sir. Go ahead.
No, this is Michael.
Oh, Michael. What did we how did we lose these people? Where's the other one? What number? Three. Oh, hey.
Hi there, Josue.
You there?
This is Josue.
Yes.
Yes.
What's on your mind today? Sorry about that. The wrong button going. What's up?
Okay. Quick question. Talking about the lost things in El Paso, I recall and six years ago on your program, there was a writer that confirmed it. There was a stone over the pavement, well, on one of the sidewalks of the San Jacinto Plaza. I don't recall if it was on the Cortez side of the plaza or on the Mills building side of the plaza.
What happened to this? Go ahead.
So it used to say Mexico was up to this point.
Huh.
You know, because in the old days, before the Chamizal Agreement came into treaty, the Chamizal used the land that Mexico was looking for was the part of the downtown El Paso. That was El Chamizal. But since all these buildings were built on that side, we got the outskirts. But the thing is that later on I started to check about that stone, and that there was a saying there that President Diaz, Porfirio Diaz, dined or lunch on.
I know what you're talking about. It's the meeting of the presidents with Taft and Porfirio. Oh no, that wouldn't have been him, would it?
No.
Are you talking about the monument to the Taft visit?
No.
Because that's a stone that was removed.
No, he's talking about before the agreement was signed between the two lands where we separated it.
Right.
Because of the flooding.
The Chamizal.
Yeah, the Chamizal, where the river would flood. You know,
That did not happen in downtown El Paso. It was down toward the Cordova Bridge.
Yeah.
It was not in downtown.
No. You know, that's also, I also went up to the, in the middle of the building. I think there's an association that has to do with all these historic landmarks and all that, and they also were mistaking that to the reunion and to the Taft Diaz reunion, and no, that's not the issue. The thing is that there was a writer on your program around 6 years ago that talk about the Chamizal. And well, he confirmed this what I'm saying. But now that I'm going looking for the on the sidewalk for that stone, since they took all the stones, all the monuments,
the pavement,
all the things that is not in there, not even a reproduction or a copy or something.
They took the markers out.
So I was thinking that maybe some of your other audience have an idea of what I'm talking about, because when I used to cross a lot on that part of El Paso. Yeah.
Well, I tell you what let's do. Wait.
Let me suggest you go over to the Chamizal National Monument, and a lot of the information that was put together, and I'm going totally blank on the gentleman's name, is there on exhibit.
It's in a museum there.
Yeah, it's in the museum there, and you might find that there, or you might find the information you're referring to.
Or if somebody calls up and catches what you're talking about.
Yeah, somebody might know.
I hope we can figure this out for you. Well, thanks for ringing
up. Thanks for calling and listening.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
You take care.
Thank you very much.
Hey, I want to thank the control room crowd in there. That's a crowd that puts up with us and them, whoever
them,
they are.
Them and us.
Yeah, don't point your fingers so fast in there. Shelley Sutherland. Hey. Sergio Valenzuela. Hey. Otherwise known as Sergio Valenzuela. Scores a goal every time. There we go. Now we should take a break and get out of here so we can come back, right?
That's right.
Three, two, one, go to break.
Go to ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history and for podcasts of our weekly radio show and for a list of area stores that carry our DVDs, like El Paso's Waco Tanks, Mexican Revolution sites in El Paso, and Legends of El Paso's Mountains. 18 titles in all, plus links to dozens of TV stories about El Paso area history. Go to ephistory.com for a journey into El Paso's amazing history. ephistory.com.
Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you've updated your home or business list of assets or property inventory? In the case of a loss by fire, theft, or natural disaster, the insurance company and police will ask for detailed descriptions and often require pictures as proof of ownership. If you can't remember, you can't recover. Contact Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Our process provides detailed documentation of what you own. There is no price tag on peace of mind. Call 915-581-7099.
Don't waste your time and money at the chain store. They got the best auto parts. Brake parts, suspension parts, and dealer parts too. The website's so easy to use. The lowest prices and fast delivery too. All the parts your car will ever need. All the savvy folks are buying parts at rockauto.com. All the parts your car will ever need.
Queen Sugar, the critically acclaimed drama series from OWN, returns in just a few days. From Academy Award-nominated visionary filmmaker Ava DuVernay and executive producer Oprah Winfrey, Queen Sugar is a visually stunning family drama that is as powerful as it is poetic and the very definition of prestige TV. Season 1 is now streaming only on Hulu, so there's still time for you to catch up before the two-night season premiere event starts on Tuesday at 10, 9 Central, only on OWN.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-226-1818. That's 1-800-226-1818. 1-800-226-1818. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Guess what's only this week in El Paso, Inc.? You don't have to guess. You know.
Investors breathe new life into vacant corner at busy San Jacinto Plaza in downtown. What they have planned.
Also in the Inc., the state steps up to address a problem it hasn't done in decades. Wait times at two El Paso International Bridges.
Why local community bankers are at odds with U.S. Rep. Beto O'Rourke. Robert Francis O'Rourke over the rollback of financial regulations.
Probably not funny to them, but in the meantime, El Paso Inc.
No,
is online,
not.
And it's on ElPasoInc.com. Available for home and business delivery.
Call El Paso Inc. at 915-534-4422 to subscribe.
Sunday on ABC 7 Extra, El Paso City Council Review. Outgoing City Rep. Emma Acosta and current City Rep. Claudia Ordaz join us live to discuss what was accomplished and what's ahead.
The program is live and interactive, and you can send in your comment or question via email, Facebook, Twitter, or just give them a call. Stephanie Guadian hosts Sunday at 10:35 p.m. on ABC 7.
Doug Poland, it's been a while since you got stuck inside your radio. Here you are.
Hey, Dougie.
You're still here. Thank you for being here.
2 years.
Well, no, but I mean, just it takes a while to get through some things we do here.
He's fun to have on but here. No, but he's got a good sense of humor.
But you're in an interesting place to observe El Paso and be part of it. Yeah. Community Foundation, director of the Plaza Classic Film Festival, and a guy who works downtown and understands downtown. How has it changed with the plaza itself, the plaza opening? Because you get to watch it not open for years up in that window.
You know, first off, everywhere I've worked, I've always worked downtown. That's in other cities as well. But when I left El Paso in 83, I don't remember much of anything going on in downtown El Paso I was like a lot of young people at that time here who felt, you know, there wasn't much for us other than our families. So I don't remember going downtown that much. High school and early college I did. You know, I saw Three Dog Night at the Plaza Theater. I saw the movie The Omen at the Plaza Theater.
You spent time in Juarez?
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Still not ready to admit that.
Mostly when I was a student at Eastwood High School.
Exactly. Wow. Still not ready to admit all that.
No, I did. I used to do that. But there wasn't much downtown that would interest me.
Yeah.
And, you know, the convention center was there, but, you know, there weren't many concerts that came through. And the Chavez Theater, which was then called the Civic Center Theater, had some things. I saw the Clash there, for example. But, you know, it was few and far between. I used to have to travel to go see the things I wanted to see. And that's really a lot of why I left. When I went to Michigan, it was in part because I could go to Tiger games, and in part because I knew that I would be closer to things. I lived in Kalamazoo originally. We were 2 hours from Detroit, 2 hours from Chicago, so that was a lot of what you did on the weekend. It was went to one of those two places.
Well, downtown being what it is, you watched the renovation of the actual plaza, San Jacinto Plaza.
Yeah.
How did that change the
for
way
a long time?
Well, yeah, at least 2 extra years that we're aware of. But I mean, you were working in that building at the time, pretty much.
Yeah, we're right across the street. I mean, I'd go into Gary's office and talk to him, and I could watch. We had a running joke about a paint bucket that sat on the property there for about, I don't know how long.
That was the joke.
Everything was closed off, and we saw nothing going on.
Has the bucket moved today? No.
Oh yeah, it's gone. No, the park's beautiful now, and it's really been a magnet for downtown. And you see piece by piece this. You know, revival, if you will, of the downtown here.
It's finally coming together.
Yeah, I think so.
And like I say,
we've got a ways to go.
They just have to stop knocking down those historic buildings and everything will be okay.
Well, look,
the
Plaza Hotel is going to be
renovated,
and that's going to start this year. The what was the Camino is now back to its original name, Hotel Paso del Norte. That renovation is beginning. It's going on now.
Yeah.
That's two buildings right there that are iconic. And you know, who knows, the Banner Building, you know,
yes.
I think Lane Gaddy has bought that and has plans for that. So it's just piece by piece. People have to be patient. But I can tell you, as somebody who didn't live here for 25 years, when I came back in 2008, I was surprised by the energy that I saw. And that was in 08. You know, we talk about the film festival turning 10 years old. Look at all that's happened in 10 years down here. Yeah. You know, love it or hate it, I love it. There's a baseball stadium downtown and a AAA baseball team.
You're there.
I go.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, it's just evolving.
It's interesting. Doug Poland, we got one more segment to come by after a break here. And tell us some details about how to find out about the classic details. After this break, if you don't
mind.
Doug. See, Doug is used to not turning the page in a newspaper. And then I just turned the page and didn't tell him. So that, all right, 544-whatever.
5876-915-544-KTSM.
About 5 miles north of Truth or Consequences lies the state's largest man-made lake. And alongside that lake is the only place in New Mexico where you can find pelicans. Oh, if those pelicans could talk. They might share with you the legends of catfish the size of Volkswagen Beetles. They might tell you about people that went into the lake and were never seen again. They would definitely tell you about a volcanic core that is now an island and was once a butte, said to have the shape of an elephant lying on its side. And that, my friends, is how Elephant Butte Lake got its name. And that's where the Hogs, also known as the Harley Owners Group, are headed to this weekend. Now, when aspiring Hogs click on BarnettHarley.com or look at the rows of bikes at Barnett Harley Davidson, they'll often point to one and say, "That's a real beaut." But real Hogs never do that. Because once you've been to Elephant Butte Lake, you know what a real beaut is. And you also know that your life, just like your new Harley, should always be a great ride.
Most people only get one precious opportunity to ask the love of their life to dinner. I've had around 703, every day around 10 a.m. in Bumpus, Virginia. She runs a stationery company out of her garage. I deliver packages, say sign here, engage in small talk, and today, on my 704th chance, I'm taking one.
If this 20-second performance made you feel something, imagine what an entire Audible book can do. Visit audible.com to start your free 30-day trial.
If not me, then who? This ethos is driving the Travis Mannion Foundation to empower veterans and families of fallen heroes to develop character in future generations. In 2007, Marine First Lieutenant Travis Mannion was killed in Iraq while saving his wounded teammates. Travis's legacy lives on in the five words he spoke before leaving for his final deployment. If not me, then who? Guided by this mantra, veterans continue their service, developing strong relationships in the community, and thrive in their post-military lives. Visit TravisMannion.org and ensure the character of our nation's heroes lives on in the next generation. If not me, then who?
Using TrueCar, you can easily find the car you want. TrueCar users save an average of over $3,000 off MSRP. When you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We are almost out of here. You got the presidential address and then followed by Talk El Paso coming up at noon.
Talk.
J. Polk will be in here talking about, guess what?
Talk.
El Paso. Yeah. No, but the election stuff, I think.
Oh,
what,
do
you
yes.
What happened? Who's actually got in now? What's going to go on?
Now what's going to happen?
And that boy's going to turn this into something here, this radio station.
I hope
Talk
so.
El Paso.
He does
but
a good job.
He also has a Facebook page. So he's going to do most of the entire show on Facebook, half of it here, so he can lead him into Facebook for the second half. It's interesting.
Facebook Live.
Yeah, well, that's how this works around here. All right. Doug Poland, the idea is to have a classic film festival coming. Number 10. Here it comes, starting
August 3rd through 13. Tickets go on sale July 7th at the Plaza Theater box office and Ticketmaster outlets and online.
Well, no, there's passes on sale now?
Passes are on sale now. They're basically on sale all year.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, we work each year on new perks and different things, so we update it. And people buy them in advance, and then we have them ready sometime in July. But you can buy them right now.
Well, a gift certificate. Give it away. A Father's Day gift.
Oh.
I'm trying to work this into your life.
I don't think we're going to give it away, but you could buy one.
No, for your kids.
No, that's what I'm saying. You buy it out there and give it away to your dad.
We need to give him a script because he keeps going somewhere else with this stuff.
I know.
Let's turn the page for Doug.
They also have a Facebook page and a Twitter feed so you can find out about the new things coming up and changes. Yes. Are you going to have any special nights where people could dress up like stars or whatever? Or?
Well, you know, we encourage that at any time. I think with Snow White, we're going to see a lot. They're actually planning a princess party for 5 o'clock night.
Oh, that'll be fun.
I know some people who are princesses. They should show up.
Not those kind of princesses.
Oh, different kinds. Huh?
But, you know, with the different movies, you get people who dress up anyway. Certainly last year with Star Wars, we had people dressing.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
I got burned by a lightsaber myself. Watch where you're sitting. Life in the Fast Lane. Doug Poland, thanks for coming in here. We'll see you at the Plaza Classic Film Festival in August.
And this poster is also online.
Yeah, you put that up?
Facebook page,
yeah.
Yes.
We just got those out this week. Oh,
everybody else, come back next week right here, live show on Eastwood High School, The History. You and I are going to be back
We're taking off, yes. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
A couple weeks. I've assigned myself elsewhere, Doug. That's how this is going to work. Thanks for coming in, Doug.
Special
appreciate
assignment.
It.
Thanks
it
for
Well,
fun.
Yeah. I mean, you know how this goes.
Doug's always fun.
The rest of the crew, thank you all for joining us here today. The details at ephistory.com. We are caught up on our archive podcast.
Yay.
So So if you want to hear last week backwards, go there.
All right.
And
yeah.
Watch it forwards. Whatever. Yes. See you next. See you in 2 weeks.
See
everybody.
You 2 weeks.
Live next week here with A.G. Polk. See you then.
Adios.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday morning, 10 to noon, and be sure to tell a friend about us. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archive podcasts of this radio show, and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Thank you for joining us from the studios of News Radio 690 KTSM AM, El Paso.
My fellow Americans, this week our nation was shocked and horrified when a gunman opened fire on a member of Congress. Five people were wounded in the assault, including a member of House leadership, my good friend, Steve Scalise. Steve is beloved across Washington. He embodies everything public service is about. He's dedicated to his constituents, devoted to his values, and deeply committed to his country. I visited Steve, his wife, and his family in the hospital as he continues to fight for his recovery. 435 members of Congress and 300 million Americans are pulling for him, praying for him, and pledging to him our full and total support. We continue to hold all of those wounded and fighting for recovery in our hearts and prayers, including Matt Micah, who was also badly wounded. In that terrible crime, we also witnessed the incredible heroism of Capitol Police. Special Agent Crystal Griner, who I also had the honor of meeting during my visit to the hospital, raced into gunfire along with Special Agent David Bailey. They saved the lives of our members of Congress and prevented that dark day from becoming a tragedy beyond imagination. They, like so many other courageous police officers, represent the very best of us. We salute them, and we also salute members of the Alexandria Police Fire and Rescue. Though we have our differences, what unites us is so much stronger: our love of our country, our devotion to its people. Now more than ever, these values must guide us and bring us closer together. Let us always remember that our job is to serve and represent the whole American people, and that we are all children of the same God. This week, my administration